Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 723, The Menu.
I don't know how to...
A Menu.
Yeah. 2023? We're saying correct movie title.
Yeah, no. Look, yeah, it's all over. Turning over a new leaf. Oh.
I don't make resolutions.
What's the point? I'm just going to break them anyway.
I mean, how am I going to improve?
That's fair. It's fair.
This is as good as it's going to get.
You make a solid
Now,
point.
Wait a minute. In 2022, you lost a ton of weight.
That's
got
true.
In shape.
Yeah.
He's
right.
Gonna get tattoos.
So I'm done.
Tattoos and piercings. That's what's next. Ed Hardy t-shirts.
That was it. 2022 was the improvement year.
Yeah. Now I'm done.
Baseline. Yeah. Now it's maintained.
No, I'm not getting into Ed Hardy t-shirts. No.
Ed Hardy t-shirts.
Some affliction t-shirts.
Not going through a midlife crisis. I don't need to wear my tap out shirt.
How was that scary M. Night Shyamalan movie
start,
the other day?
Start drinking
yeah,
liquid
right,
death.
Right. Yeah.
I got the Ed Hardy of
don't
water.
Say it, Matt. Poor Matt Reedy.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna screw his
know,
algorithm.
Yeah.
Hardy in your feed.
Jeff Hardy, that'd be all right. That's a wrestler.
Oh, okay. Every time I get,
like, I don't know, Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
If I get a sponsored ad or an email from Death Water, what
Liquid Death?
I send it to Matt Reedy in his Messenger, because in Messenger, if you don't know, I mean, I'm sure you guys do, but if the listeners don't know, if you type anything into Messenger, Facebook's ads pick up on anything that you
it's
type.
It's crazy.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful and good for our egos. Lord knows we need all the help we can get. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares. We're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Brendan McGuckin, Julian Jordan, Chris Valls, Gabriel Lugo, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Ralph Tribble, Dissect That Film, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Ken Holzhauser, Invasion of the Remake, Chris Williams, Geek to Me Radio, In Session Film, Mike and Oscar, Nostalgia Cast, Colby Mack, Ryan Terry, Binge Movies, Feelin' Film, and Matt Naglia. So thank you very much for sharing an episode.
Thanks,
greatly,
guys.
Yeah,
and gals.
We greatly appreciate it, and all points in between.
That's right.
We also have a Patreon if you want to chip in. That's super helpful. Patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us buy the new mics.
Oh, yeah, fancy.
That make us sound even better.
That's right.
Like we're just right there in your car with you.
That couldn't, it sounds so good.
Yes.
And
yes.
What did you say on the last episode that it was going to be? Because we missed Christmas in December for holiday episodes.
What do you
mean? You said something about Jan. You made some kind of a pun with January.
Oh, that we're going to do like a holiday movie for each
No, you just said we missed December for being like Christmas horror, Christmas horror movies in January, and you said something.
We're just
like,
gonna do New Year's Evil all of January.
New Year's Evil.
That's a real movie. I'm not making that up.
Oh, okay. See, I gave you way more credit because I was like,
it's like, oh, trademark Real Sports.
We're
finally trademarking something that should be trademarked.
We totally like glossed over that. No one really paid any attention. I go back to editing and I go, oh, New Year's Evil. That was clever.
That's absolutely a movie.
Oh, never mind. 5:13. Delete all praise.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Infinity sign.
But no, we do have, so we've got a box office for 2022 that's a little out of date at this point.
Well,
but we kind of knew that was going to happen.
The only movie that came out after we recorded doesn't really matter.
No,
so
that's true.
Fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
We've got Matt and I. Matt was kind of chomping at the bit to finally talk about Halloween Ends. So we did that. And actually, the best part about that episode is I turned Halloween Ends on like as we started recording, and our episode is longer than the movie.
I would believe it. I've been on those Patreons.
And then we just did Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I gotta tell you something funny. Seriously, now that you mentioned that, and I'm glad you did, we've reviewed and talked about Halloween Ends so many times, I have moved Joe's audio files to the archive folder, and I still have to release that episode, so I will remove that. But
we've only done it, how many times have we done it? Twice?
Well, we did a review, and then it comes up all the time.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
And then there's another thing. So I just figured, oh, that's the old audio archive. I mean, I didn't delete it, thankfully, but archived it. But like, I literally have to take it out so I can edit in 2023 a Halloween Ends episode. They're still talking about this movie.
Our discussion.
Did he convince
is very
you finally
different.
That it's horrible?
Hell no.
Okay.
No. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, don't spoil it.
I won't spoil it.
So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in to the menu.
This is
Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year to you guys
sure.
as well.
We bought a new calendar.
Yeah, right.
It's so arbitrary.
One was given to us.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay for it.
Well, yeah, we're zoo members. We got a zoo calendar.
Sure.
And I was like, good enough.
Yeah.
Not buying one this year.
Works for me.
It is funny, though. I mean, I get the, like, it's the same celebration as anything, birthdays, right? It's like, well, it's just you're one day older, but it's like a celebration of you made it another year on this earth, right?
You,
like,
it's been a rough couple years.
But that's true every day.
No, I know, but it's a time to take out and recognize that we've made it another year. But again, then on the flip side, as you get older, you're just like, it's just another day.
And
like,
no,
you're literally
I just have to remember to write a 3 instead of
right.
a 2.
Yeah.
So it's I mean, I get
well,
it.
You're really old if you're still writing checks.
Well, it's not just on checks. I write the
dates okay,
on
you
got to
do your
things.
Little
yeah.
reports and
yes.
stuff.
I love how infrequently you have to write checks now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that has made...
I don't like it because then somebody asks for one and I was like, oh, can't help you.
You gotta
remember where you
where
put
the
your
checks.
Check.
Yeah, right. You just gotta put them one place for once every 3 years when you get the new car and you have to do a down payment and
right,
that's what
right.
they take or whatever.
You got Venmo? I got that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there's so few reasons to ever write a check now. Like even less than the bills are now electronic. You can send money through Cash App, Venmo, or whatever. Like the reason, seriously, even when you go to the DMV, they're like, we'll take a debit card. It used
Dang
to be
right.
only check.
That's true. That's
no
true.
Cash, no credit cards. Check,
but just they would
check.
Charge you more for a debit card.
They'll charge you a dollar or something, but
it used to be more.
It used to be like a percentage because
yeah.
they were trying
oh,
to. They didn't
okay.
want to eat the fees,
yeah.
so
right,
it was
right,
like
right.
3%. So
I think
it's
now
like,
it's just a couple bucks.
I always still take a check to the DMV.
Gotcha,
smooth.
But yeah. but there's so many more options now. It's just nice not having to worry about that and write the little 100 squiggle
yeah,
mark.
Yeah, right,
you
right.
Know?
I remember I was talking to Gwen. Had a friend over earlier this week, and the mom was talking about. Something and she was like, oh, I was balancing my checkbook. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
I never balanced my checkbook.
I mean, it's 2023.
I just call and if there's money in there, I can write a check.
That's it.
Which is more than my ex-wife ever did.
She just wrote a check.
Oh my God. You don't even know.
Well, this is good to know. What is your mother's maiden name and your first pet?
She would go to the casino.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then
like do advances
and just write checks. And then like, and then she was not good at it.
Oh.
And then like, but then she wouldn't even tell me that she had done it or, but she wouldn't write one check. Like you could tell like she'd lose and go back and write another check. So I'd sit there like scrambling to cover these checks.
Oh my God.
Not knowing like when it was going to be done.
Yeah.
Because back then like checks wouldn't all hit on the same day.
Sure.
Even if you wrote them on the same day. And so I'm like, okay, are we done? Is there going to be another check for $200 or $400?
Creepers.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. And she did that one time like 4 days before we were supposed to close on a house, and like went through like $3,000 in a night. And I was just like, and I assure you, we were not in a position to go through $3,000
sure.
in a night.
Sure, sure, sure.
And it was just like, oh my God.
Looks like you made it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
what's that song I can sing?
Yeah. Yeah. Or we'll have to pay for it.
Yeah, right.
It's probably cheaper, $3,000 than, her, yeah, cheaper right. than her going to the casino.
Okay, the menu. We covered the hunt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was I the only one that liked that?
I think so.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Great. This kind of reminds me of The Hunt
except
a little
not
bit.
Bad.
I like The Hunt. I yeah. think it's a fun movie.
I think it could
I think
have
there
been a
were,
fun movie.
There were interesting things they were trying to do, and I don't think the execution was all there, but there were interesting concepts.
Yeah. Yeah, considering it was written by written by a conservative person?
I think there was one of each, and they were...
Okay.
The movie didn't have a
voice,
in my
opinion. Well, then that
kind of
makes more sense.
Which is what I didn't like about it. I was like, do one or the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, quit
trying... No, totally.
Yeah, like, it's... Yeah.
So this kind of... This had, like, vibes of that. And I think this is great.
This is, I feel, less political, more about class.
Yeah. I wish it had been more about class than how they wronged Chef. Right? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of to me, that was the takeaway at the end is he just brought these people, spoilers, he just brought these people to the island because they had offended him in some way.
They're elitist pricks.
But they are.
It's not just that they offended him, though. I mean, it's so much deeper than that. Some of the people had been going and eating at his restaurant for many, many times. And some people, yeah, I mean, they are connected in some way. Like, there's people that finance the restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's not all just offended. It's they're all bad people in different ways. And the question is, do they, by the end of the meal, do they deserve to leave and continue on this path? And,
sure.
And we'll see if there is anyone that does deserve to leave out of this whole group that eats there. And so it's not just like, oh, you've offended me. Like, I think the funniest line to me was that movie line where it's like, I watched this movie and it was my only day off.
Oh,
was,
man.
Like, that was his greatest offense. Like, he was not even a bad person.
Right.
And no, literally,
he picked a bad movie.
That one was, like, just funny because it's a black comedy.
It is very much so. Very much a dark, dark comedy.
That dark humor. But it's not really just, like, offended. It's like they've offended his sensibilities, like his life and his career, and he wants to make this great food for people to enjoy, and they've turned it into this...
A job.
Just a consumable.
Yeah.
Only the elite can afford it. They're not really going to appreciate it. They can say they've had chefs cooking.
Yeah.
And they're not actually even tasting the food. They just want the Instagram picture.
Yeah.
They want to tell their friends, oh, we eat at this exclusive place. We go to the island and do this. And so they've ruined and driven up the prices so that people that want to enjoy it can't afford it. And these people don't appreciate the art behind it. And so they've ruined his whole... his love and passion for cooking because they've turned it into a consumable. Like, I know food's always consumable, but you know, it's like,
well, I think it's
here's money, here's this transaction. There's no art behind it. It's just, I'm rich, give me food.
Yeah, I think when Nicholas Hoult starts talking about like the chef's table and like these shows, look, one of my guilty pleasures is anything with Gordon Ramsay on it. Master Chef, Hell's Kitchen, whatever it is. Like, I thoroughly Master Chef Junior.
It's funny because I do none of this. Like, I don't watch any of the food shows.
And you're a reality TV guy. You like
yeah,
that stuff.
I like
Chef's Table is a lot of fun.
I like trashy reality TV.
Teen Mom.
I'm Teen Mom. I'm Love After Lockup.
I got to tell you.
But Gordon Ramsay yelling at people isn't like.
I watched one clip on TikTok of Teen Mom.
Yeah.
Guess what my algorithm wants me to watch from now on?
See?
Teen Mom.
All of it.
Yep.
I got to watch Macy and Farrah have it out because they didn't like each
that's
other.
That's some old school stuff.
Okay,
Farrah's
great.
Been gone for a while.
Well.
But I've never seen any of those
shows. James Dean, the porn star, is really sad about that.
Yo, know, that is a while back. That's 7 or 8 years ago. So,
and his algorithm's still trying to get him back.
I'm not a foodie. Like I
got
like
you.
I hate like that's the bane of my existence is when we're at a restaurant and they're trying to be
fancy,
foodie, fancy.
I don't want to eat foam.
And so the thing, it was funny. Like just fast forwarding to the ending a little bit. With the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Crystal was like, oh my God, a cheeseburger. Because my complaint about a fancy restaurant, it's always my complaint, is when a fancy restaurant try, like almost any restaurant, even the fanciest restaurant, will have a burger on the menu.
Sure.
Right?
But they try to make it into something fancy.
But then they'll try to make it into something fancy.
Bison burger.
Or, not even gross. That. Like bison burger. Okay.
Be like,
it's like, but they put it on a
briquette.
They
put Kobe. Wagyu.
Oh, sure.
Or they'll put it on like a brioche bun with onion flakes. And like, right, you know, I don't know. And I'm just
they
like.
They can't just have a burger.
I'm
it's
like, look,
be
man,
it.
If I went to your fancy restaurant and I ordered a burger, like that burger is my out. Right?
Sure.
Like, that burger is me saying, I don't want the fancy dish. Like, nobody came to La Petite Fancy Pants.
The Little Fancy Pants?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then orders a burger if they're a foodie, right?
Sure. No, so absolutely.
Don't but with the burger.
But they can't charge you $30 for a cheeseburger.
No, they can. That's the thing. They can. Like, No. I came to the fancy restaurant
to
appease everybody else in the party, right?
Right?
Like, this is what everybody else wants. It's not what I want. So I'm willing to pay $30 for an $8 roadside diner burger in order for everyone else to have pheasant under glass or whatever they're doing, right? And so when you make the burger fancy, you're defeating the entire purpose of a burger.
Yep. I don't need a burger with gold crusted onions and
you don't pour Falstaff into an iced pilsner and
wow,
you put it in a can.
Can we talk about the fact that you just referenced like a dead beer from St. Louis?
Well, yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah, maybe if you still have a Falstaff, maybe you do, because
Well, my dad used to drink Falstaff.
No.
Then he got a job.
You had to punch the hole in it so you could drink it.
That was an impressive
pull. There was thing.
After Falstaff, then he got a job and he upgraded to Stag.
Well, I mean, he had diabetes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way that works. I get it. But so we're introduced to Nicholas Holt and Anya Taylor-Joy, and Nicholas Holt is definitely a foodie. Like, he has this reservation, and we assume that he and Anya Taylor-Joy are a couple.
Yeah.
Like, the way she's reacting to him and like kind of appeasing him, and they end up taking like a boat to this island. And
I would say it's a water vessel. It's not like a boat.
It's true.
Boat.
That's fair.
I'll give it to you.
A boat.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. And we're introduced.
It's like I can't describe it. It goes on water.
It might have a motor.
It's like a car, but on the water.
But there's no
James Bond
wheels.
Movies. Those cars go underwater.
I had to give you trouble.
No.
Like a boat.
Look, man.
You're drunk. I get it.
Yeah. Thank you. If you say Nightmare or Josh Brolin,
Josh Brolin was driving the boat.
Yeah.
I'll take the hit. Boat.
I've gotten so much crap.
That's fair. That's fair.
To be fair, I have not said night mirror in years.
No, you haven't.
And I am traumatized. If I hear anyone on TV and an audiobook,
you still hear it, right?
People say it all the time. So first of all, I was not the only one. And I hear it every time and I go, oh my God, they don't know how to say nightmare. Like, you guys have said it and traumatized me so much. I'm not kidding.
I think we only did it one time.
I think maybe it was a
running thing.
Yeah, because you kept saying it,
right?
And like, I did it one time, and then it became the thing I did every time. But I was listening to an audiobook, and the people say it.
Nightmare. Nightmares and dreamscapes.
Yeah. And there's like so many mentions of it, and I'm just like pulling my hair out. Like, why do they say that? So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, I'm glad our public humiliation of you worked out.
But I do say Brolin.
I know you do. So we're introduced to all of these different characters. We've got John Leguizamo, who he's playing himself, right?
No, I mean,
you don't think he's playing like a version of himself?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he was ever as successful as this guy was supposed to be.
That's a good point.
Well, I mean, he's never opening a movie. Nobody's ever said, let's go see the new John Leguizamo movie.
I don't know. Spun was pretty good.
What? Spawn is terrible.
Spun.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I thought
can
you
see
said
the confusion.
Spawn. I was like,
remember Spun
what
was
are
Brittany
you
Murphy,
about?
The
is
drug
Murphy,
one
yeah.
when they're all I like that movie.
Is she the star of that movie?
He's on the poster bit. He's like right there on the poster.
Okay.
I think he's a pretty big part of it.
Yeah, he's great in John Wick.
Super Mario Brothers.
The less
Super
said
Mario
about
Bros.
That, the better. You've got three tech bros, and then you've got like a high end food critic, and who I assume is her husband.
No, I think it's supposed to be like the editor of the magazine.
Yeah.
Because at the end he says, like, the magazine will pay for the...
Oh, that's right.
And he so he's, like, totally sucking
some
up
kind
to
of
her.
Placating her.
Like, she's, like, a name.
Yeah.
Like, a celebrity.
Sure. Yeah, yeah,
critic,
yeah.
Which just disgusts me that that's a thing.
I agree with you.
You know.
Totally agree with you. So they go in, and they all sit down, and...
Did you mention the old couple?
I did not. You're right. Okay, I'm sorry. So, there's another... Judith Light, who's like, hey,
yeah,
hey,
yeah,
who's the boss? What's up?
Basically, they're a couple that has been going to the chef's restaurant and eating there for years and years and years, and they're ones that are like a status symbol. Like,
yeah,
we just go there. We have so much money, we don't know what to do with it.
Must be nice.
So we go eat there all the time, which, like, these people are all like, oh, we have to get in there and eat there once, and these people are just like, yeah, it's what we do.
And there is an
rich.
Interesting interaction, and I say interaction, but, like, they're far apart between Anya Taylor-Joy and this old guy.
Oh, yeah.
There's something there, but... We don't really know what that is. And I will say this movie is really good at, I wouldn't even call this, it's tough to call this a horror movie because it doesn't really.
There's some horror elements.
I would,
but I don't feel like it's ever really trying to scare you.
No, there's some jump scares.
Yeah.
It's or more tension. Suspense.
It's horror adjacent.
The
yeah, but,
with
yeah.
Some, but there's some gory stuff that's
for sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely there is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that chicken dinner was gross.
Gross.
They didn't even bread and fry.
I know. What? That's that's how you get salmonella.
Yeah, point? Right. What are you doing? What are you doing? So our characters all kind of go into the restaurant. We're introduced to Elsa, who is, I guess, the maitre d' of for chef.
She was in that movie Downsizing, which I love.
I knew I'd seen her before.
She's the girl that Matt Damon falls in love with.
Oh, okay. But we've seen her in something else. Recently.
Oh yeah, she's been in several things, but I love that movie Downsizing. That's Alexander Payne.
You're the Hunt because yeah. I don't think we liked that movie.
It starts good and then it falls apart.
Oh, she is in Watchmen. Yeah, you're right. The show, not the movie.
The show.
Yeah. Yes, it does fall apart. Not the show Watchmen, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Downsizing. Like the first hour is like, oh, this is really good. Where's this going? And then it just kind of
and I like
crumbles.
The back I love the back half of it of Matt Damon like living in this new world and exploring like what are they all gonna do? I found it delightful, but I get like I'm in the minority. There are people like me that just absolutely love it, but most people came out like
no, thank you. Watchmen also fantastic.
But she was hilarious in Downsizing, though, her character, because she was like telling Matt Damon what to do. She didn't mince words.
No. Nope.
You know, she's bossing him around.
She was authentic.
He shows up and she's just bossing around, telling him what to do. And it was so funny and delightful. And their romance was so atypical in that way, to where it's like you just didn't expect that to happen.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I don't know.
Because was it Kristen Wiig that played his
yeah,
wife and like backed out after he had done it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had like forced them to do it, and then she backed out.
So the Elsa kind of lays out the rules and what's going to happen. There's going to be a multiple course meal, no pictures, which Nicholas Hoult just can't seem to contain himself.
No, he's there for the, and that's the commentary. Each group is a different social commentary. Basically.
Did you think they were the seven deadly sins?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
I kind of felt like you had
to think about that.
Like the tech bros who were.
Like greed,
and then you had
gluttony. Be someone eating a bunch.
I think he's glutton.
Right.
Right. I think the husband, the old man, is lust.
Oh.
I think
that's interesting.
The food critic is where you have like a hot avarice.
Okay.
Is that right? Am I making
is one sloth? What's that? Sloths?
Like laziness.
Okay.
But that kind of is the mom, right? Like she kind of dressed slovenly.
Hmm.
Hopefully I just didn't make up a word.
I think you did, but we'll let it
But pass. I mean, like, so as I'm watching it, I was like, okay, like, I kind of see where we're going with these folks.
But so, like, with Nicholas Hoult, he reads into all this stuff. He knows all the words. He takes all the pictures and wants all the clout. But when he gets thrown into the kitchen, he has no idea how to make it.
Right.
So he acts like he's an intellectual and knows.
I think a lot of this is a commentary on film critics.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think the critic one, certainly.
Yeah. But
I also think Nicholas Hoult, right? Where how many times have we talked to someone, this isn't directed to anybody, where they just talk about making a film or the cinema, everything about film. But if you were to be like, cool, go, they would have no idea how to do it.
Oh, right? For sure.
So I think that there's something to that.
And just the idea of what the critic specifically is, you just... So focused on just being hypercritical,
right?
Yeah,
and just picking apart things that don't really matter.
When she I think it's like the second course when they bring out the little thing and it's like, oh, this is a little, it's like a amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
And it's broken.
Like she's so afraid of liking something that someone else might not like.
Right.
That she can't enjoy anything.
Correct. Right? She's got to critique it all.
And I think, you know, like, I think a lot of film critics lose sight of the fact that it's okay for a movie to be fun.
Sure.
Like that, yeah. That's okay.
And not it's okay to like something that people don't.
Yeah. And not everything has to be framed perfectly or whatever, you know, like Caddyshack is not a good movie.
No,
but it's a great movie.
Yes.
Right. Like it's
absolutely,
you know,
but
as, dumb comedies. Yeah.
Like as a film critic, like there's nothing about that movie where you're like, oh, look how they frame the shot or look how they, you know, like, or, but it's fun and it's funny. And that's
that Frank Conniff tweet is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a pretty spot on.
Except for he starts it out with White Noise adaptation of this book. And I'm like, God, I hated that movie.
Was it Michael Keaton?
But he say, but even then he says attempting, like, it, like nobody attempts these things.
The one with Michael Keaton with like ghosts in the VHS tape.
Not that one. Oh, not that one. Go watch this one on Netflix. Let me know what you think.
But from that reaction, no.
Let me know.
But I think like you see it right now with all the year end lists, how many critics aren't putting Top Gun,
Batman.
Yeah, where it's like Top Gun was. I mean, there are some,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, but, totally. No, I agree with you.
But the St. Louis Film Critics Association, was it even in
Best Action? I thought it has
Best
to be
Action, of course. I mean, but like that's, you know, that, you know.
But I heard the Batman score didn't make it on
that's
the shortlist
for
the
ridiculous.
Oscars.
That's ridiculous.
That Michael Giacchino score is incredible because it's in the Batman.
Right.
It's not even on the shortlist.
But that doesn't make sense, though, right? Like, if you're going to nominate, what was it, Suicide Squad? For best makeup, why wouldn't you nominate The Batman for best score?
I think that there's a lot of really good scores and a lot of good artsy movies, and I think that for the shortlist, they're just like, okay, well, that one. Like, those ones on the shortlist, I think, most belong there, so it's just like they've kicked The Batman out because but that is one of the best. That score is fantastic.
But that's always been, that's a new-ish thing, like in the last 15 years, where the Academy has gotten away from, everything that has to be nominated are these art house, just all of that, like that, the hoity-toity stuff.
Where the
Much
Oscars
like
used to
movie,
be the biggest
the
movie,
biggest
like Top Gun would have been.
Right.
Yeah. Top Gun is more of a traditional.
I mean, the first movie that ever won Best Picture was Top Gun.
Bingo.
Basically.
What was it?
Oh, wait.
Wings.
What? Oh.
It was called.
You're not wrong.
It's called Wings, and if you ever get a chance to, if you don't want to watch the whole thing because it's a silent movie, and I understand that's a lot for people. There's a video on there that kind of walks you through the stunts that they did in this movie.
Sure.
Holy.
Oh, really?
Oh my God! I don't know how people lived. In fact, they didn't. Like the guy that does a lot of the flying, like he makes a movie like 2 years later and crashes and dies while making the movie.
Oh my gosh.
Like they basically invented stunt flying.
Did
for
John
this
Landis
film.
Direct that one too?
Yeah, but it's crazy. And then they even show you how like there are shots that we take for granted, like, you know, just the way they film a guy in a cockpit. Like,
oh, sure.
They invented it in this movie, and you look at it and you go, well, of course that's how you film a guy in a cockpit, right?
Is Wings the one where they pull the table away and the camera moves through all this stuff?
No, it's where the two brothers run the airport.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay, because there's a really amazing shot. Rian Johnson had duplicated or paid homage to it in The Last Jedi, and it's this 100-year-old movie, basically, that it's black and white, and I feel like it's Wings, but I'm not 100% certain. But they move the camera through like a crowd, and there's people at a dinner table, and they showed it behind the scenes of how they did it, and the camera moving, and then people like moving things out of the way so the dolly through it. And it's amazing that back then they figured out how to do this sweeping movement through all this crowd of people and things. Yeah. It's just a really, really neat video. So
that's awesome.
I'll have to look it up and see if that's the one.
We start with our first course, and everybody, you know, they're jerking off to it, and Anya Taylor-Joy, though, is definitely the odd person out. She's not eating the food. This isn't her jam.
She sees that the Emperor has no clothes.
Correct. Yeah. She also...
She's not a part of this.
That's their thing, crowd. Is it's... they... When they all are checking in, Nicholas Holt's character walks up and Elsa calls Anya Taylor-Joy a different name. And they're just like, oh, no, like, she couldn't come. Like, this is my
And you
substitute.
Have to have a couple or a pair.
You
it
won't
has
see
to
the table of one.
Correct. Yes.
But they'll see the table of three, which makes no sense.
Oh, well, when we get to that three, I think there's a reason those three.
Yeah,
are
then
there.
Maybe they made an exception because
so things are.
But they customize the menu to each person because as we find
to each person or to like
eat each meal.
Sure,
of themselves and finances, we find out, like,
I thought you meant they were customizing each person.
That's what menu. I
but there's the one dish where they bring out the tortillas.
Like, they do their research, and they have...
That was my favorite
scene. They have info on each person, and, like, they need... And that's why, like, Chef brings back... She's like, I don't know anything about you. Like, you're not supposed to be here.
Right. So I wonder what was on Margot's tortillas. Not Margot's. The original date. Like, I wonder what would have been on her tortillas.
Oh, that's a good question, because they couldn't have made any info.
So, yeah. So this scene is actually...
You know what? There's a twofer. She is on someone else's tortillas.
She is on someone else's.
Maybe they just duplicate
them. That is true. So we start looking at the tortillas, and obviously the tech bros, their tortilla has a spreadsheet of the money they've been laundering and lying about. John Leguizamo has the poster of, like, Dear Mr. Sunshine or whatever.
Yeah,
Calling Dr. Sunshine. Yeah. Which just sounds like a Robin Williams movie.
I think it's
like,
supposed to be a riff on Patch Adams.
That makes sense. Okay. We've got Nicholas Holt. They must have made his, like, right then, because this entire time he's been taking pictures of the food, which you're not supposed to do, and on his tortilla is him taking pictures of the food.
Okay, so some nitpicks. Why would he be taking pictures of the food when he knows he's going to die?
Was he posting them before? He was probably posting them when he took them, so he could at least have that out there in the world to be remembered
question.
By.
I kind of thought the same thing, is like he's trying to take the picture and immediately post it.
I think he's taking them and posting them.
But I also think his hubris, not his hubris, but what do you call it when, like, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor? Like, what is that where he is like,
covetous?
I guess, because with Chef lust? And the food, lust kind of, but I kind of think that the old man is lust.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But like just the
envy.
Envy. Yes, envy. Thank you. Where he is just so envious.
He's a star.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to describe it. So he's taking pictures. The old man gets his, and it's him sitting with a woman who looks auspiciously like
Margot,
who is Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, you see, like...
I do like that he's like, he makes sure to change seats with his wife so he doesn't have to look at the back of Margot's head.
Yeah, so he, like, clearly there's something going on between the two, and we see that, like, yeah, it's the old guy with Margot in the picture. So yeah.
This movie handles its exposition wonderfully.
I agree.
And the way it's very Altman-esque, the way it kind of weaves in and out of the various conversations in the dialogue.
Sure.
And it shows you and not tell you. There's not a bunch of spoken exposition. You see through the meals.
Right.
You see through their reactions. And you just, like you said, there's natural conversations that happen. There's not a ton of exposition and backstory with, who all these, this is my background. This is my, you just
the easy way to do this is to have the Elsa character almost be like Fantasy Island.
Sure.
And she's like, this person's here because, have
introducing them, Mr. and Mrs.
Right. Like, it's, and they don't do any
Jim
of that
Halpert.
Like,
but no, you're right, and everything is very natural in the way that they weave in and out of all these different tables.
John Leguizamo's there with his assistant,
right? Man, so there are some insanely funny bits in this movie where the tech bros see on their tortillas it's the spreadsheets or whatever, and the guy's like, what is this? And she goes, a tortilla.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, what is on this? She's like, it's just a tortilla. Like, I don't
delicioso.
And it's so funny. And then we find out that John Leguizamo's assistant has been trying to leave and get a better job. And she's like handing him back the phone and the keys to even the apartment in New York that nobody knows about. And finally, when we get to a certain point, she's like, I've been stealing from you. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I sent Sony a bad recommendation. She goes, yeah, I know. She goes, how? He's like, you CC'd me on the email. It's like, it's just little bits like that that give you a moment of levity, because there are certain...
My biggest laugh, I don't remember what it was in response to, but...
Where she went to school?
When Margot, they asked Margot something, and she just goes, yeah. Like, kind of disgusted. And I was just like... And I was just like, oh, that's so great. Like, just a great line reading. Like, that joke is not on the page.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Her delivery made that funny.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really good.
Yeah.
The line I was referring to that was really funny.
Where did you go to school?
When Chef is talking about, like, she's like, oh, I went to school and here and did whatever. I'm a good person. Whatever. He's like, did you take out any loans? No, you're
dead.
Dying.
Right. Yeah.
Where did you go?
Brown.
Yeah. Where did you go? Brown. Do you have student loans? No, you're dying.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, and Ralph Fiennes in this movie is incredible. His performance is fantastic.
Wait until he's Professor X.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just think it'd be fun.
Oh.
Okay. I think you'd make a fun Professor X.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. But he is so good.
20 years ago, this would have been Anthony Hopkins.
Without question. Okay. Yeah. That's a good call.
But he should be recognized for the acting in this film.
Yeah.
Because he's fantastic in this. His line delivery. He's a great actor. We know that he's been in countless great roles.
The dude doesn't have to work anymore. That's, I mean, you get that Voldemort money. You're sitting pretty.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but he always gives it his all. He's been in a ton of great stuff, and this is no exception. And I just think that this is another one of those roles that might be kind of glossed over because of the genre, because of the horror.
It's lesser than.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, no, he is giving a phenomenal performance.
There is a subtlety to his performance in this where he is deadpan, right? Mm-hmm. Stone faced the entire time. And when she asks him to make that cheeseburger, and he's making it, he has these little moments where, like, the crook of his mouth breaks into a smile, and it's so subtle, and it tells you exactly what she was trying to do and what it's doing.
Yeah,
where it's making him fall back in love with cooking.
Right. And the thing that they've lost, I mean, we're jumping to the end, but it's eventually, you know, there's one person that actually appreciates his food and his art for what it should be and what it used to be. And it's not just a status symbol and to say that you've been there and for all these and to make money off of and as a business and all
she's
that.
She's legitimately enjoying it.
Cooking, right? Yeah. And she is the audience that he used to want to reach, because we find out later on in the film, you know, he's in high school flipping his first burger and he had a big smile on his face and he loved to cook. He cooked because he loved to make people happy.
And he still had his employee of the month. Plaque,
he did,
right? Like that was important to him.
Yeah, yes, and so and over the years that's been lost, because as he gets more popular and more famous, the prices have to go up because of demand, and then all of a sudden again it's a bunch of rich people just eating his food to say that they have, and the person that he wants to reach is Margot, is her, you know, the lower middle class.
That's the
right?
customer she wants.
He wants to make great food for people and make them happy, but they've been priced out, and now only the rich snobs that don't appreciate the art of it and enjoy the food, they're the only ones eating there, and it's killed his love for his art. And so
but that's also a process that film has gone through, right? Like when film first started, it was for the masses. It was lesser than. It was like, well, but you're not theater.
Right.
The real actors, the real art, that's all on the stage.
It's all on stage.
And it wasn't until the 70s and
is that really when you think it movies overtook theater?
Oh, no, that's not where I was going with the rest of the sentence. Like, it wasn't until the 70s that you started to see the directors that grew up really picking apart these movies that were designed to be popular, right?
Sure.
And so, like, nobody, you know, it was the Spielbergs and the Scorseses and the De Palmas that really started figuring out, like, oh, wow, this John Ford Western, it's very different from these other Westerns. Why is it different? And
I'm
starting to recognize that, like, okay, yeah, he's making a Western, but he's doing something more than just making a Western.
Finding the artistry.
Yeah.
And
then they would take those and insert them into their films.
I got you.
But then at some point, it gets distilled down to the mechanics of the artistry rather than, like, he was doing these very artistic things to achieve an end goal, I know that's not a John Ford shot, but the table thing you were talking about. They were like, how do we solve this problem? And then they solved the problem where, you know, and I like Rian Johnson a lot, but that's also kind of an example of the problem. He just did it to do it.
Right.
Right. He just did it because he loved that shot and he wanted to do it. But these people originally were like, this is what we want to do. How do we do it?
Yeah. Like Carpenter, I was Carpenter, you know, in Halloween. Like,
yeah.
How do we make this tracking shot work?
Yeah.
And you're just trying to, it's the 1978 and you don't have the technology yet.
You don't have a city cam.
You just make it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dean Cundey is the genius.
Dean Cundey, if you don't know who that name is, he has filmed every single one of your favorite movies.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
One of the greatest cinematographers of all time.
Easily.
Halloween, Jurassic Park,
Back to the Future.
It's great when a critic, you know, that people know those things, but at some point when it becomes only about those things,
right.
It's no longer fun or enjoyable.
Well, it's the difference between that movie looks really cool, but there's no story and the dialogue right. isn't. It
didn't we just have something like that?
Zack Snyder and everything.
But if it's just a technical exercise, it's if the movie just becomes a screensaver,
right?
And you're like, well, that looks like that was really
my
cool.
complaint about Pinocchio. I thought it looked. I mean, I know people loved it, but sure. for me, yeah. like I thought it looked great. It was an amazing technical achievement. But in terms of animated movies of the year, which would I watch again? Marcel Lachelle with shoes on.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah. that was a good...
That whole thing animated or just her?
Just the shells.
Which is
stuff.
Such a weird thing that it's... I still don't get how that's possible to be nominated for animated. When it's just a part of a live action thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but tremendous, but yeah. I just...
But then why isn't Avatar animated?
Right.
That's a valid point.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Avatar's more animated than Marcel. Why?
Yeah.
Ready Player One was like 95% yeah. animated, and they didn't let them... They literally
did they
did
put it
not,
in? Did they? Oh.
They did not allow them to be entered in.
That's so weird.
When the movie is a majority and like 70, 80%. Like, it didn't meet the threshold, but it is there.
Right.
Where would you put, like, Bedknobs and Broomsticks? And I'm asking that, like, legitimately. Like,
yeah.
That, I feel like that.
I think it's live action with, and I think it's Marcel and Bedknobs and Broomsticks are the same
okay.
genre. That's like, fair. If you were to put them in a category,
so
whatever.
Roger Rabbit?
Yeah. yeah. Roger Rabbit. Same, absolutely.
It's got animated. A lot more animation, though.
Yeah, but he's still interacting with.
Yeah.
But it's not an animated movie. I would never call Roger Who Framed Roger Rabbit an animated movie. It's a live action with animation.
Man, that...
Why isn't it animation with live action?
Yeah.
You got chocolate and no peanut butter.
It's not. It's filmed in camera, and they add animation on top of filmed in camera. But now if you put a live action CG on top of a hand-drawn or a computer animated thing, then I think it'd be animated.
So are you saying that it would go in the same category as Wall-E?
Live action, yeah.
So okay, Wall-E doesn't count as animated because of Fred Willard.
No, it's if you have a live action thing in an animated movie.
That's a Brad Hyen rule if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
If you have live action, again, in an animated movie, it's animated. I just mean that if you film it live action and put animation on top, I think that those are animated elements in a live action movie.
But something like Avatar... is almost fully animated.
But
then
weird.
It's live action with animation on top, though, because it's motion cap.
It is mocap. That's true. So there is
but
an
then
actual...
in that case, Monster House is not animated.
Also correct.
And Polar Express.
No, motion capture is animated. That doesn't mean it's not animated.
But you filmed live action and put animation on top. That
no,
was
you
your
didn't
definition.
Film it. You motion captured.
Ooh, this is now. Say, now I think that is. A,
and now, if you and if it goes straight to Netflix, it's a TV show.
That's true. But I do think that
that's
there's
a performance something, that's captured.
I see, but that counts though, right? Like to me,
I mean,
animation,
what is film doing?
Yeah,
it's capturing a performance.
I think it is. You know, you look at
we're having an existential yeah. crisis.
I know. There's the Snow White thing, right, where the guy watched a movie Sleeping Beauty of a yeah. woman dancing.
Well, they all did it.
And just
every single movie,
right? But
was
then just and that's
they're all rotoscope.
That's the same to me. That's a very early version of
motion
capture.
Yeah, which is animation.
So
well, he's animating on. He's still animating,
right? But Avatar is in the same boat. It's just the next step of rotoscope.
Yeah, which is animation. That's what I'm saying. They're all animation.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the. If you animate the characters, whether their performance is motion capture or not, but a computer is animating it, it's rendering it, it's animation, then it's animation. If it's filmed in a camera and it's live action, like we're being filmed now, and if you put a penguin walking across our screen right now, it's not an animated podcast. It's a podcast that has an animation going
on. Joke's on you. I have a live penguin.
See? Well, see, and it was so good,
not,
I thought it was animated.
As long as it's not rotoscoped, yeah. We're fine. Anyway.
What the hell were we even talking about?
That's a good conversation. I think that's a legit conversation.
Yeah.
No,
like
it's
where it,
these
like
are the
where, thing, where things fall.
This is why this podcast exists. We're
that's
a bunch of guys
true.
That just saw a movie and we go to get drinks afterwards and we are debating whether or not something's animated.
That has nothing to do with the movie that we saw.
Poor Death Star contractors.
Yeah, I know. Poor guys. Oh. Put a bar right here. That's all you got to do. So Nicholas Holt, like the entire time, Nicholas Holt has kind of been the good guy. He's just really excited about trying.
There's
no,
a
he's
a douche from,
he's the classic nice guy
that yes, tells you he's a nice guy
that quote unquote
right
that yeah. thinks I've been performatively nice to you
yes
so now do the things I want
yeah. I'm saying like up until a point
yeah
there
you start off thinking he's a nice guy
right
but the way he talks to Margo yeah. and the things he
but
says
as soon as
are
as,
big red flag.
As soon as she doesn't do what he wants
right
now. In his defense.
Oh. Oh, boy.
He's paying her to do what he wants.
Also true.
They have a contractual obligation.
We do
that
find
does
out
that change it a little bit.
A little
I mean,
bit.
I mean,
he's still he's, a he's, to be clear, because he's mean and cruel about it, right? So like, but to a degree, like she's an employee who has agreed to. I mean, she's a hooker,
an escort, and, sex worker,
whatever we're supposed to say this week.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, I was like, does the Vegas have a rule that you can't?
Yeah, it's legal, right?
Oh, sure.
No, it's not legal in Las Vegas.
Well,
it's legal in Nevada.
Nevada.
There it is.
But it's not legal in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so it's like.
But I don't think they care.
No.
But she's an escort, and so, I mean, she's entered into a contractual obligation to play along with this.
But if you're an asshole
but he's
that hires an escort and you treat them like crap, you're still an asshole.
But not only does he hire her, but he knows he's hiring her to die.
He's essentially murdering her.
Yeah. But once you find that out, obviously you know he is a bad guy. You're
I think we're even past that, where he's like, he calls her a child.
Yeah. Very condescending.
Very much so.
But pre-finding out, you know, these are all the little clues you pick up. But certainly, I mean, we know he's a bad person, because anyone that would bring an innocent person using them as fodder because you want to experience the chef's cooking who you worship and you know they're going to die. Like, that's...
You're a scumbag.
He's a terrible person.
Right.
Yeah. Beyond, he's a murderer.
And there's a reason that his other date broke up with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So everything...
Dodged a bullet, literally.
Legit. Yeah. So...
Oh, and we should say, though, and something we didn't mention, this whole experience, the chef and all the sous chefs and the waiters and the workers and everything, it's very cult-like. As soon as you see the way things operate... Everyone calls him chef. That's how kitchens work.
You do operate that way. Chef, no chef.
I get the respect of it all, but what I mean is the willing to do anything. Like when the first guy kills himself.
Now you're in different territory. But before that, even like,
there's a reason it's called a brigade.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a cult around chefs, and it's a commentary on just the nature of celebrity chefs and whatnot. But
the way they talk in unison, and yes, chef, now like they're in the army or something. Like, to me, that felt very cultish. And I don't know if, I mean, I get that you respect. I mean,
it is cultish, but it also, it wasn't a major red flag because kitchens at that level operate that
way. Okay, I could see it being similar for sure. Yeah. Like, I know it probably is a commentary on the chef culture and all that, but I think that was my first red flag to where, like, it seemed something was above and beyond, and I can't remember the exact moment that happened, but when they were talking stuff, because I went into this movie not knowing anything about it.
Oh, dang, that's awesome.
I had no idea what was going to happen. So when I watched it, I'm like, this is weird, the way they're all, like, acting.
Because
like,
the trailer didn't intrigue me at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just like, this looks kind of dumb. I don't care. Especially because so much of it was about foodie stuff, and I don't foodie stuff, and I don't like movies where it's just fetishizing food stuff. Like,
I don't disagree with you.
Did it give anything away?
The trailer?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen it, I don't remember, especially because I wasn't intrigued. It just kind of like...
I think that it gave you the inclination that there was something extra.
I hope they hit it,
like,
because...
You knew that there was some sort of people were in danger.
Okay.
And that, you know, things because were not
actually,
what they
the scene with the birthday cake is in the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, the guy's already got blood on his face. So you're like... Which, again, fantastic scene.
Yeah.
The guy's like, you told him it was my birthday? He's like... It seemed appropriate at the time.
It was funny 3 hours ago.
I think it's a great line.
So, I mean, what we get essentially is people killing themselves for the chef, like where it really does go beyond the chef culture and into a cult, is you have these people willing to die, very cult-like.
There's a sous chef that comes out, and he had prepared this next course, and basically chef breaks him down and says, you wanted to be here, you wanted to be... you know, me, you wanted to have my skills, but you can't do that, can you? And of course the guy's like, no, I can't do that. And he pulls out a revolver and blows his brains out in front of everybody. And I do like that the food critic and Nicholas Holt and some people are like, this is part of the show.
And because I honestly, like, if I was in that situation,
same thing,
I'd be like, this is a show.
It's all part of the show.
I did wonder, part of me felt like, and I don't want to spoil this, but very much like The Game or something. I was waiting
for...
Oh,
no, that's a great call.
I
don't want to spoil it because that movie is phenomenal, but I was very much
Fincher, baby.
Yeah, I was very much waiting for it to somehow be performative and to teach them a lesson or something. You know, a lesson
spoilers
they could learn
for the
from.
Menu. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, there's no menu 2.
No, right? Yeah. No, there's not.
Electric
no. Yeah. It's the sequel to Midsommar. It's the same thing. So Chef tries to get information from Margo, and she just won't give him it. She's like, my name's Margo. I'm blah, blah, blah. This is
so here's one of the things I really like about this scene.
In the bathroom?
Maybe it's later in their office. But when she talks about the fact that she's a sex worker,
yeah,
I'm sure it's happened before, but I don't know that I've ever seen a major studio release where the person's a sex worker because they want to be.
Oh, good call.
Well, this is very much a 2022. Yeah.
Like, you know, and she, I mean, she doesn't, he says, do you like it? And she says, well, I used to.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of ready to move on from it, but she's not a victim.
No.
I mean,
no.
She's a victim.
She's a victim here.
Because she's on this island.
Sure, sure, sure.
But she's not a victim because sex position. Work has sure. victimized right. her. It's, you know, obviously.
Yeah, she owns it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where we find out the connection between the old, in this office meeting
yeah.
between Chef and Margo, where she says, she's like, yeah, I know that old man. Like he used to make me look him in the eyes while he jerked off and told him.
Called me his daughter's name.
Yeah.
His dead daughter's name.
And like, I would just agree with whatever he said. And then
which makes you wonder, what was that relationship?
I think it gives you a pretty good idea to what that was.
And that is why this movie works, because they're trapped there. The goal is to kill these awful people.
Right.
And if they were just killing innocent people, right. it wouldn't
work. None
of
these people are likable. The closest, I think, is John Leguizamo and his assistant.
That's true. He didn't do anything wrong.
His thing is really just a comedic, you made a bad movie, I didn't like.
Right. Which is honestly kind of an act of hypocrisy, right? Because this guy's career, the chef's, is dictated by critics.
Right.
And
now he's critiquing art
and
as well.
Yeah, and it's like, and obviously this movie we're talking about is fictional.
Sure.
But it's a cheeseburger.
It is a cheeseburger. Right? Very, very well done cheeseburger.
It might not be a good cheeseburger. It might be a McDonald's cheeseburger versus, you know, whatever you're, you know. But it's like, but some people are going to like it, and that's okay. Not everything has to be for you.
Nope.
Yeah. You know?
There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Yeah.
You can find whatever you want.
But that's the thing about this film, though, is that it works because these are all horrible people, and you want Anya Taylor-Joy to escape because she is the one that doesn't belong, and Chef knows she doesn't belong. Everyone knows that she is of a different class. I'm not saying that bad way, but these are all a bunch of rich, snooty people, exception of Nicholas Holt, because he is a worshiper and got in there, but she doesn't belong there, and so you're hoping she escapes because she's not one of them. She and Chef keeps saying, like, you're not supposed to be here, you know, and he's like, are you with us or with them?
Right.
And what we find out is that no matter which side you choose,
I mean, either way,
there's like an air of like, okay, well, yeah, if you're with Chef and them, they're the good people and these are the horrible people, but they both die in the end,
right?
So it's like there's no, for her, there's no joy in that. Like,
right.
She wants to leave. She wants to live.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. So,
we'll kind of burn through these real quick. No pun intended. The tech bros kind of get super pissed and they say, like, our boss kept Chef in business during COVID. Yeah. And he was like, cool, look out the window. And there's the boss with a set of like angel wings. And they just lower him into the water and they just let him drown.
On an island. So he drowns out there.
So the old man gets his ring finger cut off because he tried to leave, I guess. And they said, don't leave. And he tried anyway. Yeah. And they're like, which one, you know, head or gut from The Last Boy Scout. And funny line where Elsa kind of picks up the husband's wedding ring, cause that's the finger they cut off. And she goes, here's your husband's wedding ring.
Yeah.
And Judith Light's like, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Right. The Nicholas
and
Holt.
She's like surprisingly, Not that she's enjoying it or anything like that, but it's like, this is the thing with these rich people, and I don't know if it's a commentary on that, they don't think that anything's going to happen to them or whatever, but she's like not freaking out. She's just kind of like,
she's hammered.
I feel like she's almost kind of resigned to her fate.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's the one at the end who's just kind of like, you need to go, right?
Right.
Like, she kind of gives her like the shoo-shoo.
I think she realizes that she and her husband and these other people, for the most part, have been terrible.
Yeah.
And so she does seem very much... she's accepted her fate.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Throughout this whole thing, she's just kind of like,
just rolling with it. All the men are taken outside and they have to, there's a chase, which I don't really understand this part. Like,
they
why?
Can try to escape. They give him, he gives them
is that
head,
what it is?
A head start.
Okay.
And if they can escape, they escape.
And the women go back inside and just hang out. And I do like the Judith Light's like, do you know my husband? To Margo. She's like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know him. And they were just like, okay, that makes sense. Another funny bit that we didn't talk about is the food critic says like there's a sauce or something that is broken, and she's like, oh, you wouldn't expect
this.
They just keep bringing her like these bigger and bigger vats of this sauce that has broken.
Yeah,
and it gets more and more broken as I was like, that's a pretty funny bit.
Yeah.
And finally,
I think the one thing that I thought was, I don't know if this is purposeful, but the actor who plays the sommelier,
yes,
coming around with the wine.
Yes.
Do you recognize him?
No.
He's from the Sonic drive-in commercials.
Oh, really?
Which is like, I don't know if that's purposeful, but I kind of like to think
that's
that
fantastic. That's so, it's Bean Croc. Yeah. Yeah. The gal from Blair Witch. Heather, I think was her name.
Yeah.
Heather Blair Witch.
Donahue.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So Chef ends up like recruiting Margot at this point. We find out that Margot's real name is Aaron, and we go from there. I'm not sure it is. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel like she's being honest in that moment with the women, right?
Yeah. Maybe. But I could see a version where it's not her real name, Margot was the real name, and this is the fake name.
That's fair. That's fair. So Chef kind of has.
Well, aren't they like doing research in real time, and he's trying to find something on her, and
there's
can't?
Nothing.
Isn't that why? Because
yeah.
Margot isn't her real name.
I mean, it makes sense that she wouldn't use a real name.
Margot Mills.
So maybe they gave it another fake name.
But she could have gave another fake name.
Right.
Like, I'm not convinced that Aaron is her real name. Yeah. Ultimately, it doesn't
matter. But they're looking. They're trying because they're tailoring these meals with all their
correct
meaning. And their.
We should say that Chef, it sounds like he assaulted a woman. And
yeah,
one of the other sous chef, and she ends up stabbing Chef in the leg, which is from a story that he had told about his father, and then marks him with blood. And I was like, dang, like even Chef is a scumbag.
Yeah.
In this whole thing. So Margot, they task Margot with,
well, Chef is trying to kill everybody.
I guess that's fair.
Ultimately, even if these people have wronged society, and this is a movie with a social commentary and all that, but like the character of Chef is allowing everyone to die.
Correct. He's so, a mass murderer.
He's murdering everyone. So like,
that is true.
He is a scumbag
for that.
You
make a good point.
But he's also made some bad moves before the murder plot.
And I do like that she's like, the other sous chef kind of says, I rebuked him, and then he tried again, and I said no, and then he wouldn't talk to me for 8 months.
Yeah.
And then she stabs him in the thigh with a small pair of scissors. So
she still buys into his BS.
She does, though. Yeah. Once you're in it, that's a cult, though, right?
He's a cult leader. Yeah.
Jonestown is a prime example.
No matter what they say, you've never
seen the sacrament. Highly recommend that. It's terrifying.
The abuse and the terrible control they have over you and everything, and yet you just do the bidding.
Yeah,
and
you do what I'm starting to rewatch that Nexium doc. It's like, God dang, like this is crazy. Also, that guy's such a worm.
I know.
Such a worm.
I haven't seen that one.
There's one on Hulu, not about Nexium, but about, I can't remember the name of it.
There's two on Nexium.
But it's not about Nexium. Oh. It's this lady that like basically starts a cult, kind of pulls out of her YouTube channel, but they're following her and you see it kind of forming in real time.
Oh man, that's terrifying.
It's fascinating. I'll have to get the name.
Yeah, for sure.
There's three
on Nexium. There's two seasons of the one that's on HBO.
Oh, is there another season of that now?
Mm-hmm.
I only watched the first one.
It's out now. And they talk to the number two gal.
Yeah.
They get a hold of her for the doc.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
So we should mention that Chef says that Nicholas Holt was in on it.
Yeah, they've been corresponding the whole time. He's like, you knew what would happen, and you knew that these people were going to die, and you still brought this person. And so they give him a chef jacket, and they say, go, you know, he's trying to make something.
Yeah, if you're he's such a foodie, and he knows, like, he's such a pretentious D-bag. Every time they get a meal or something, he has to mansplain it,
like what's inside the tea.
But he's so snooty. Oh, you know, he takes a little bite of something and it explains all.
It sits there,
and it's so pretentious. But so he's like acts like he knows all this stuff and is so intellectual.
And yeah, Chef breaks
show
him
us
down.
How to make this.
And
make
he
us
makes
a meal.
Some horrible dish, and Chef is like, this is the worst thing I've ever had. And he says something to, we don't know what he says.
Yeah.
He says something, and Nicholas Holt, like, I also didn't realize how big he was.
Oh, he's a tall
guy.
Like,
when he's standing next to Ray Fiennes, I was like, oh, dang.
Oh, yeah, Nicholas Holt's tall.
He takes his tie off and just walks away, and I was watching this with Leanne. I was like, oh, he did. Like, and then we see him later hanging from a bar, like he had hung himself with his own tie. So much like the sous chef, Chef has the magic word to pretty much get you to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. The documentary is almost called The Deep End. It's only four episodes.
Oh, okay. I'll give that a look for sure. On Hulu?
It's on Hulu, yeah.
Okay. So Chef tasks Margo with bringing this barrel back, and she's doing it because Elsa didn't do it. There's a fight, very kind of, this is the part that I was like, this is kind of like The Hunt.
It's kind of like Willy Wonka.
Kind of.
Well, you got all these people that go to follow this charismatic person to tour his facilities.
And it's all the rich people.
And the rich people that feel entitled.
And she's Charlie.
And she's Charlie. And she doesn't really deserve to be there, she's flawed.
Nicholas Holt is very much like Grandpa Joe.
Like scumbag. Yeah. Like Charlie still ends up breaking the rules.
That's true.
But he's not as bad as these other people.
And he wants to. Willy Wonka wants to take the spot.
Gets away unscathed.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Grandpa Joe gets away unscathed.
Yeah, but
as he shouldn't have.
He shouldn't have.
Piece of
shit. Needs to go get a job.
And all of a sudden your legs work? Like, cool, you lazy bum.
But it's very Willy Wonka.
That's true. That's a good call. So there's a fight, and then Margo ends up killing Elsa. And I do like that Elsa says, he never told me to get that barrel. Like, and it was like,
he acts like she failed. Elsa failed because she didn't get this barrel.
Right.
And her dying words are just clinging to, like he didn't tell me.
I did my job.
Right.
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 Yeah.
So this is where Anya Taylor-Joy or Margo sees the picture of him, of Chef being so happy cooking this cheeseburger. So they go and we're getting to the final course of the meal. And Margo does the one thing that nobody's allowed to do. She says, your food sucks. Yeah. I don't like it. I'm sending it back. And then she says,
well, that's the thing. It's not that they're not allowed to do it. They're all too scared.
That's
to do
exactly it.
They don't want to stand up and be like, this isn't good.
Right.
Right.
This is not fun.
Yeah.
That is such a huge commentary on people going along.
Yeah.
With the crowd. Oh, I'm supposed to like
it's
this
like,
movie. I'm supposed this movie, this music, this art, this
it's
painting,
like fine art. Thank you.
This painting with the splatters on it that a 2-year-old can make is worth $20 million. And we're supposed to say that's amazing high art.
Yeah.
When if someone really stood up and goes, a baby could make that.
Let's talk to Jim Lee about high art.
Right.
But it's a little bit more intricate.
Yeah, it splatters on a canvas. But if you're rich and you say that, you are now out of the club.
Right.
You can't. You have to appreciate fine art for what it is. And so she stands up.
But
and
she's
she
also
says,
a service member, right? Like she's in the service industry. Yeah. And she's like,
one way to put it.
That's
just
what it is. Like it's. And he says, he's like, what can I do? Like, what can I make you? And she was like, a cheeseburger. Regular cheeseburger, American cheese with fries.
Yeah.
And like this is the scene we're talking about where like he starts making it and there's like a crease in his face where he's starting to smile. She takes a bite and she was like, yep, this is the greatest cheeseburger I've ever had in my life. I'd like to leave. How much is
my
this gonna,
eyes were bigger than
my eyes
stomach.
Were bigger than my stomach. Also, how much is this going to set me back? And I appreciate that she only paid for what she ate.
Yeah.
Right? She gives him $10 for the cheeseburger and fries. And he boxes it up.
I was appalled at that.
Oh, really?
Because because she didn't tip.
I thought the same thing.
But they retcon that a few minutes later, but they referenced that their services are tip included.
I think if anybody was going to tip, it would have been her.
Correct.
But then when they do retcon and said gratuities included, I'm
I was just like, no, if you work in the service industry, you tip.
You absolutely tip.
That's BS.
Right.
And so I was glad that they referenced that because I was honestly like, he should kill her for not tipping.
Right? But yeah, this is a smart movie. So they thought of that, which is appreciated.
The other thing we didn't talk about
is the Coast Guard. That was a tense moment.
It was a standoff.
And then they're trying to like tip him off. Like, help. Like someone writes on a note.
Oh,
help.
Yeah. He was like, oh, you're so into John Leguizamo.
Oh, can I get your autograph?
And he was, well, like, Chef goes, would you like him to give you, it's a test from Chef immediately.
Yeah.
Like, would you like him to get an autograph? And he was like, oh yeah. And John Leguizamo writes, help me on there. And as the Coast Guard guy, which also I was looking at the way he was dressed. I was like, that guy's on the Coast Guard. Like he's wearing like, you know,
a
Magnum PI shirt and jeans.
Well, it's like a Party City Coast Guard costume.
I think if you watch, like you see him cooking in the back.
You do.
Oh,
yeah. You do because he goes back.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I think that's the guy who was just
You do
clever.
See him later. But that's the thing is like he goes to like, you think he's going to shoot Chef, but he just lights a candle and he's like, congratulations, Dale. Like that was a great, he's like, oh, thanks Chef. And they go back and so he makes a cheeseburger and he allows her to leave. He was like, you're free. Like, thank you. Like, I hope you enjoyed your stay here. And she just gets up and's like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
And like gets the hell out of
there.
She
brought him back to a place and time where he was happy.
Yes.
Cooking for people that would appreciate his work. And then she couldn't finish it. So she had to get it to go.
And then he was okay with
it. I also like that. Like she didn't. Then she stops insulting it. Like she's like, my eyes were bigger than my stomach.
Right.
Can I get this to go?
And he was like, at one moment, please.
Yeah.
And comes back with a box.
So meanwhile, the dessert.
So initially I was like, oh man, what are they doing? And then I saw one of the guys with a giant graham cracker.
Yeah.
And I looked at my wife and I was like,
s'mores.
He's going to turn them into s'mores.
I said the same thing. I was instantly like, they're s'mores.
They're s'mores.
It's great the way that they're decorating it. Like you said, they don't pull back and you're like, what are they doing? They're pouring stuff and moving all this. Like, and then you go overhead and they're creating this giant s'more delicacy.
There's
dessert.
One. There, if you look at it, if you go back and rewatch this little clip, there's one guy who looks like he's carrying like a giant
marshmallow.
Like a giant drywall graham cracker.
Oh, yeah. Right. The graham, yeah.
And then they start putting, it looks like the thing from Midsommar.
Yeah.
Where they're putting like the marshmallow dress on these people.
Yeah,
and then they get little chocolate hats.
so ridiculous.
And then Chef is just like, thank you all for, you know, pay up. Make sure everybody's paid.
See, everybody's still paid.
Everybody's still paid. I like that all the tech bros try to throw their credit cards in first.
Yeah.
And he sets everything on fire. And there's actually a pretty gnarly scene where I think it's Judith Light's character where like the chocolate is like melting into her eyes.
Yeah.
And like they pulled on that for a second. I was like, oh God, that would be awful. And everybody dies.
Yep.
And Margot is on a boat, which I do like that she was just like hitting switches trying to get that thing to work.
Martugo,
get the hell out of here.
Takes a big bite of her cheeseburger.
She just watches it burn. And that's how it ends. I'm really glad that this got made.
Yeah.
I think this is cool. This is a lot of fun. I think this is really good.
It was so different. I loved it. I loved how it worked on the level of, I mean, we've read into a lot of the meaning and everything, but like it just works on a level of a weird suspense esque movie.
No.
But it also has a lot to say about consumerism and capitalism and just, you know, all the criticism and the snobbery and elite class. And,
right.
And, you know, there's so much to say with it, but it also is just a movie with really good performances, really tense.
Yeah.
Really creepy.
No, really good. I think we said this comes out this week.
This just released. So when the time this episode is out, it is on HBO Max streaming.
Yeah. So I highly recommend that. It's fantastic. And I'm glad that like there's a spot for this in theaters.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and it did well. It says it made $70 million on a $30 million budget. Hey man,
that's a big old win.
Good. Yeah.
That's a big old win. So yeah, the menu, don't eat at his restaurant.
Well, you can't because
I guess that's true.
It's out of business.
It's out of business.
It is out of business.
Yeah. But if anyone ever asks you to go to a secluded island and eat with an elite chef,
don't do it. Or you know what? Maybe do it. I don't know.
I'm like, does Castaway Key count?
No.
That's, okay.
That does not count.
They don't have an elite chef on that island.
No, they don't.
This
there's somebody named Mark.
The director of this, his name is Mark Malad. And his first film was Ali G in the House.
Is that right?
That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, he works on, I think he's directed a bunch of episodes of Succession.
Yeah, he's got Entourage. Talk about like
that's
elite. Yeah.
But I guess he's part of that Adam McKay world because Adam McKay is behind this, but Adam McKay is also behind Succession.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's my guess is how he, and this now, once I saw that, I was like, that makes sense.
It does make
like,
sense.
I don't know if you watch Succession or not,
no.
But one, it's really good, but there's.
That's the Brian Cox one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the way that this is filmed, I'm like, I see that. And the way that he handles the dialogue and you get like kind of snippets to explain what's going on rather than just spoon feeding it to you. That's Succession is a lot of that kind
I'll
of
check that
style
out.
Of stuff.
He has 6 episodes of Game of Thrones that he directed.
Well, it's not the other two.
Shameless. I mean, he's got a lot of credits.
That's the advantage of the TV stuff, man.
Credits,
you can hone your craft on TV and then.
Especially in today's world where TV is so much better.
Yeah.
It used to be TV was basically like you just point the camera and kind of shoot it.
Right.
And it's
right.
very different.
But
now.
If you can handle 6 episodes of Game of Thrones that has $10 million budget, I mean, Game of Thrones episodes, and I mean last season aside, we won't get into that, but,
but you know, still from a technical standpoint,
$10 million is more than most like indie art house movies.
Blumhouse doesn't give $10 million.
Yeah, and you're talking about
if you made six Game of Thrones episodes, that's basically three feature length films.
Right? Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, and totally so true. Being able to handle that, and that, I mean, the scope of Game of Thrones, well, the stories and the special effects and all, I mean, there's a lot going on there. So if you make that work, and they did for a very long time, but that's, you know, that direct six episodes of that I think is very impressive.
And you get a Thor movie. The guy they did Thor 2. Somebody did.
Oh, really?
No, it was a Game of Thrones guy. Did Thor 2.
Oh, because it's like, I don't even, I guess, has he done anything since?
Probably not.
No.
He's like, can I get my job back at Game of Thrones?
So there you go. Anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find
this. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and we like you more. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Carl and Inez get remarried. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.